Thanks for listening to the Best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for The Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to The Best of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
We're going to come in strong and come in correct. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers have traded, this is a shocker, with the New England Patriots. They traded a fourth-round pick in this week's draft for a seventh-round pick and Rob Gronkowski, the tight end for the New England Patriots, a Hall of Famer, soon-to-be Hall of Fame tight end for New England, who's teamed up with Tom Brady so well over the course of their career. And let me start by saying this, Rob, and then I'm quickly going to give you the mic. We had a bet. We had a wing bet that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers will make the playoffs. Nothing, you know, we didn't bet Super Bowl or anything like that, but I'm saying they'll make the playoffs. I'm a gentleman, and we made the bet before this news of getting Gronk. So if you want to get out of the bet, end the bet, eliminate the bet, I'm going to give you that opportunity.
Absolutely not.
No way, no how?
Actually, I'll double the bet with you. 20 rings.
We have 10?
I thought we had 10 in the drink. Let's do 20.
We can do 20. That's fine.
20 in the drink.
I don't have any interest in doing more than that. But yeah,
No. 20. I think we had 10 in the drink. Let's do 20.
All right.
I'll double.
That'll work. So obviously you're not moved by this.
Not at all. Is this on? Because I hope they can hear us in Tampa Bay. Again, another desperate move by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I know you haven't made the playoffs in 12 years, but obviously your judgment has been foggy. And now that you have Tom Brady in the fold, everything has turned into old-timers' day. What in the world is the Tampa Bay Bucs doing? You know what? They've turned this franchise into a freak show, into a circus. That's what this has turned into now. Come see the old quarterback who's 95 years old. And when he first started playing, they used a real pig. Come see the frat boy tight end who's better at lifting beers to his mouth than catching footballs. And here it is. Ron Gronkowski, Gronk, he ain't the competitor he once was. He walked away from the game and turned it to wrestling. He's not an athlete anymore. His competitive juices are gone. And you shouldn't have to, what in the world, beg somebody and talk them into playing? You can't talk somebody into playing football. You remember Jay Cutler's wife talked him into playing coming back? It was a disaster. Your heart has to be in it to play football. It's the dumbest thing I've ever seen. You can't turn back the clock. Let's go back to Gronk's numbers if you don't want to believe it. Since 2015, Gronk has averaged 47 catches, 769 yards, and only 4 touchdowns. Not to mention he didn't play last year. This is not the guy you want. You had all these other young guns and young things, pieces that you claim you already had. To bring back a guy who had basically written off football for pro wrestling. Yes, where there's a script and where you're not going to get hurt, to come back and play football is a mistake. And the last thing, I'm not hoping for this. I'm telling you, there's a great chance Gronk will be hurt early on before the halfway point of the season. That's what happens. This is a mistake by Tampa Bay. They've turned into a freak show. They've turned into a circus.
Stop it, Rob Parker. Now, don't clap for that madness.
That was
and
right on point.
And you're lucky you turned that corny music off, because I was going to yell it at the top of my lungs to turn that mess off.
I'm the poo-poo king.
The only thing dumb was that take. Come on, Rob Parker. That is crazy. That is ludicrous. And I like the way that you, again, overstated everything to make it fit your narrative. You know, the last time Tom Brady threw, when he entered the league, they were using real pigs to throw the football. Real pigskin. Overstatement. A guy that's better at drinking beer than he is at catching footballs. Overstatement. Last time I saw Gronk, he was helping them win the AFC Championship, not to mention the Super Bowl. The dude was coming through in the clutch, catching footballs from Tom Brady, not to mention how much great of a blocker he was. And here's the thing. This isn't Michael Jordan coming back to the Washington Wizards at 38 years old. This isn't some old fogey who's done and just misses the game coming back because he doesn't know what else to do. Gronkowski is about to turn 31 years old. He's still young. And this time off will do him well because he's always had a problem with staying healthy. Always. Always. His fourth year in the league, he missed half the season. But this time off gave his body time to recuperate, gave him time to get healthy. And I'm not predicting a Pro Bowl season necessarily. What I'm predicting is it's another weapon. You are now in New England, they could focus on Gronkowski, the defense I'm talking about, because you didn't have many other weapons with him. And he still did damage. Now, I have to worry about Mike Evans. I have to worry about Chris Godwin. I may have to worry about Gronk and another tight end if they want to go those sets, which they certainly will on occasion. OJ Howard, Cameron Bray, whoever it is. Oh, my goodness. Gronkowski's going to see less attention than he has throughout his career. And because of that, he will be effective. And guess what? If he's not, if he is old, if he does get hurt again, what'd you lose? Nothing. You still got a very good team. So this was a great move, Rob Parker. You can put on your little circus beat and music. You can make your overstatements. You can do all of that to poo-poo it. But this was a strong move by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers that cannot hurt them in the least bit.
It will come back to bite them. And again, it's another situation of them being, I get it. They haven't made the playoffs in 12 years. Tom Brady shows up. So now they're going to give the key to the car, let Tom Brady do what he needs to do to feel good. And forget the team and where they were headed and how young they were. But it's fine. Let's bring in. And Gronk is an old, beat-up 31. There's a reason he wasn't playing. And again, you watch and see. All the injury problems you've had, it doesn't make any sense. You don't need Gronk. And his numbers haven't been good for years, since 2015. So stop living in the past. No,
it's
not.
That's just straight up wrong. It is wrong. In 2017, he had 69 catches for over 1,000 yards.
Go look at the average in the last 4 years.
Stop it. First of all, he was hurt in 2016.
And the last 4 years, I gave you.
When he missed half.
No, because that's part of him.
You're not being fair, Rob Parker.
Yes, I am. That's part of him. Being hurt is part of him.
You said he hasn't been good since 2015.
No, I did not. I said he had. I said his averages since 2015.
Worth of passes.
I'm telling you.
He averaged 16
Gronkowski was not on anybody's team or not playing last year because his heart's not in it. His heart's not in it.
No, you know what wasn't in it? His body. Because his body was beat up. What don't you understand about that? Football, as you said, is the most brutal sport outside of boxing. And he was beat up. He's, like I said, he's always been injury prone.
Keep living in the past.
He retired because he was beat down. Now he's had a chance to rest for a couple of years. And again, maybe he won't be great, but what does it hurt? Even if he's not. It doesn't hurt you. You still
stop
you
living in the past.
One of the other it's stop not
thinking,
living in the
it
past.
It is.
When
you're thinking about Tom Brady and Gronk with the Patriots.
You're
it
dreaming.
It ain't the same thing.
This is all wishful thinking.
Go forward. This is watch and see.
This is
he will be hurt
thinking.
At some point,
fine.
Or he won't play well,
so
and everybody
what?
Will say, "Well, what do you expect?
OJ
he
Howard
hadn't played."
And or Cameron Bright.
Okay, we'll see.
And not to mention my two good receivers.
You got an old quarterback throwing to a broken down tight end.
This is all wishful thinking, and we know it because you're fudging the numbers. In 2017, he was all pro. First team all pro. He was a pro bowler. Averaged 16 yards
that's why he quit.
Per catch.
That's why he quit, because he was a pro bowler. He quit last year, right?
He was hurt he was a pro. In 2018.
That's and, part and, of and, his story.
And,
that's
and
part
and
of
you
his story.
Of all people, you shouldn't say, you shouldn't mock somebody quitting because he was a pro bowler. How about your boy Barry Sanders in Detroit? It happens. How about Calvin Johnson in Detroit? It happens. This was a fine move, period, the
and
end.
And neither one of
and
those guys came back
out.
And was talked into it. Tom Brady
How
is living in the past.
It?
That's what they said. Tom Brady had to talk him into coming back to play. Why Man. In the world would you let somebody talk you into playing?
Because
you
deep
play.
Down inside, you wanted to play.
No, he didn't.
That's
if you
why.
Wanted to play, he would have played.
And even if you don't, like I said, it's not going to hurt the team.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Everybody, it seems, is weighing in on the Last Dance documentary about Michael Jordan and the Chicago Bulls in the 97-98 season, their last together. You and I talked about it all show long yesterday. We had David Falk. We had who was Jordan's agent. We had Shaq, Shaquille O'Neal. So we had some great conversations about it. And the always outspoken Draymond Green is another person who weighed in with his thoughts about it. He was talking with Uninterrupted, which of course is LeBron James and Maverick Carter's company. They put out a lot of great stuff. So here was Draymond talking about his thoughts on the documentary. And in particular, he compared like the way that they knew this was our last year together. He compared that to what they went through last year with Kevin Durant in Golden State.
That was kind of the elephant in the room. And although Steve would kind of hit on it of like, let's just enjoy this year for what it is because we don't know what next year holds. It didn't necessarily carry the same weight because what should have happened was Kevin come out and say, hey, man, like, this is it. Like, so let's do this or this isn't it. You know what I'm saying? But you can't just leave an elephant in the room because what happened was the question came to us every day. Like, every time we spoke to the media, Clay and myself was asked about our contract, and it was strictly due to Kevin, you know, because while that was going on, Clay was saying, I want to be a Warrior forever. Like, I want to be here. We started this thing. This is where I want to be. I'm saying, yo, I want to be here for my career. We started this. We built this. I want to finish my career here with the guys I started it with. And then you kind of had Kevin like, I don't know what I'm going to do next year. Like, and it don't matter, but it does matter because you're not the only person that has to answer that question.
Rob, I got a lot to say about this, but I'm going to let you go first because I'm sure you do as well. So what are your thoughts on what Draymond said?
I just don't understand it. I really don't. People have a right to be free agents and determine. Everybody doesn't know what they're doing when you know what you're doing. You just said it. You guys were drafted there. He came over from there, right? As a free agent.
Right.
He doesn't know. If it was a done deal,
now,
he would have signed the contract.
He said he knew when you remember he was on the All the Smoke podcast, I don't know, a month or two ago. And he said he knew inside like midway through the season. He said like in January, you know.
But just, you still don't know if that could have changed
right.
at some point. I'm just saying. And the only part that I really have a problem with, seriously, is if it was all about him and he was selfish and really didn't give a damn about the Warriors and their team, why did he go out there off an injury, Chris, and further to try to play for that team when a lot of people thought he was crazy to go back out there? Am I right or wrong?
We don't know. I mean, you're right. He may, did he do it for his teammates? That's certainly one way to look at it.
But he was going to get paid regardless.
No, yeah, it definitely wasn't for money.
It wasn't, for money. So I'm just saying to myself.
Did he also, we know he's got what they call rabbit ears, where he hears everything.
I get all that.
That was the point of me and him. Our whole brouhaha was, I said, look, if they win it without him, it's not going to look good for him. Or KD, did he look at it like, because I hear what you're saying, Rob. It's possible he came back because, hey, man, I've been to war with these guys for 2.5 years. I want us to go out together as champions,
but I'm going to
put it all on the line. Or did he do it because now I can look like the hero? I can prove to everybody that they needed me, because that's been a narrative. Did they need him?
But the only problem I have with that, I don't know why he came back. That narrative is he won two MVPs. Yeah, he took them to the finals.
Stop it with that.
They were 8-1. Chris, come on, man. I don't believe that.
He was great, but
I don't believe that.
Without him.
No, they weren't great because they didn't win.
They
weren't great. They lost. They lost in the championship.
They were 1-2 in the finals.
They weren't. That's why they went to get him. That's why they got him.
I'm with you on the other stuff. Don't tell me they weren't a great team without Kevin Durant.
They choked on a 3-1 lead in the finals.
He choked too.
Were they a great team in that year?
He was up 3-1 too.
Were they great that year?
They choked. They were.
They didn't finish the job.
That doesn't mean they weren't great.
They weren't a great team that year to lead the choke down. No, they weren't.
They won 73 games more than any other team in NBA history.
It ain't just the regular season. Stop with that. It's the entire year.
Because you hold the 3-1 choke against them, but you don't hold it against Durant.
It never happened in the finals,
Chris. It doesn't matter when it happened.
It does matter. Championship team.
Narrative. It's never happened.
Never, ever. The Yankees lost a 3-0 lead. First time it ever happened in baseball. They got knocked over the head for it. They should. It had never happened in the game of baseball up 3-0. All I'm telling you is it's different from other series being up 3-1. For a team to win 73 games and not finish the job.
It wasn't the first round, Rob. It was the conference finals. You act like it was the first round.
I'm not saying
it's as bad as the finals, but it's bad. It's bad. You got a chance to win your first championship, and you're up 3-1 on the best regular season team in history. You don't play well in the last three games. Don't poo-poo that.
But it ain't the same as the finals.
Like it's nothing.
The championship
you never
is bigger.
That.
But it's bigger because I'm looking
I'm
at a championship.
It wasn't bigger.
Up
I'm
3-1.
You act like Durant is some Superman.
I didn't say that, but I'm just telling you about the Warriors. Don't act like they didn't need Durant. They went and got Durant because they choked. They choked down a championship. If they were that great, they wouldn't need him, Chris. They didn't sign him because they like him.
They knew that they needed him. I think they could have came back that next year and won the championship
but they
without
didn't.
Him. Right. So we don't know. They proved they could win the championship. They proved they could run through the league
and they proved they could choke down a championship.
They did. It could happen to anybody. And you're right. They lost. They choked. I'm not trying to wipe that away. But I'm just saying to act like they weren't a great team is ridiculous. They ran into LeBron James, one arguably the best player ever. Kyrie Irving, another Hall of Famer. They weren't playing chopped liver.
But they
Why don't
had,
you give Cleveland
lose,
a little credit, too?
They didn't lose two games all year, and to lose three in a row to end the season and two at home is
all right.
Unforgivable.
All right, fine. Are you done talking about Draymond and his thoughts? Because I got my thoughts on it.
Go ahead.
I get what he's saying in that, sure, it'd be nice if KD, let me put it this way. I'm a direct type of person. I think Draymond is too. I would rather somebody, if you got a problem with me, come tell me directly. You don't have to do it in front of the whole team, but let's you and I sit down, go to dinner or whatever, and talk it out like men, and then settle it and move on. I don't need you to tweet something. I got to try to figure out what the heck you mean. Instagram, I got to decipher some coding. Or you're just sulking over there when we got to work together. Let's deal with it like men, face to face. So I get that's what Draymond's saying. That's what happened with the Bulls. I wish that would have happened with him. So I understand that perspective. But I think what Draymond is overlooking is that, Rob, the enemy, like Phil Jackson, Scottie Pippen, Rodman, and Jordan had a common enemy. The enemy, the guy that was going to break them up was Jerry Krause and Jerry Reinsdorf, the owner and the general manager. It wasn't Jackson, Jordan, or Pippen. If it had been, if Phil Jackson had come to them and said, look, I'm leaving after this year. I know we got something good going, but I'm out of here. This is my last year. Maybe it would have been different. If Pippen would have been like, man, I'm sick. You know, I'm sick of this here. I'm out of here. And Jordan would have felt like he's abandoning him. Or Jordan would have been like that. Maybe it's different and they don't have that common enemy that they can all focus on beating, which was their front office and ownership. This would have been a player in your locker room, in the foxhole with you, saying, I'm out, y'all. And that might, I don't know that it would have been as smooth as Draymond saying. Like if KD came to them in January when, according to him on the All the Smoke podcast, he realized he was leaving, I don't know that Draymond and them would have been like, okay, cool, let's go out and win one last one, right? Maybe they would have been resentful. And you make a good point, Rob. He could always change his mind. Even though he's feeling like in January, man, I'm out of here. He could have, you know, at some point he had time to change his mind. So I think that's something that Draymond is not considering. Here's the one place I'll put fault on KD is he sulked. And he admitted it. Again, on that All the Smoke podcast with Matt Barnes and Steven Jackson, he said, when I determined in January that I was out of there, you know, I just went about my business. I ain't really talked to nobody. I didn't really get down with nobody. I just came, played basketball, and I was out. No, you can't do that. And that shows immaturity on Durant's part. He's always saying that to the media. Just ask me about basketball. I just want to play basketball. No, it's deeper than that. It can't just be, I just want to play basketball. You have to have a relationship with these players, these guys who are your teammates. For 2.5 years, you were cool with them. You're laughing. You're joking. You're going out with them. You're part of the crew. And now, all of a sudden, you ain't rapping with nobody. You ain't cool with nobody. We're not hanging out anymore. And we're supposed to just overlook that and go play basketball?
Some of the greatest teams in sports, they didn't all get along. It ain't. You don't have to be.
I'm not saying that.
You don't have to be boys, Chris. I don't believe in that.
I agree with you, Rob. I'm not saying you got to be boys. But it's at least if I know me and you don't get along, at least I know. And I know why we don't get along.
Draymond Green is the same guy who called out Kevin Durant and said, we don't need you. We won without you.
Durant should have said something to him.
No, but that's the guy who has a problem trying to figure out.
Everybody else.
I'm just asking. Draymond.
Ask me what?
Draymond, he's the guy who's got a problem with it. He's the one who told Kevin Durant, we don't need you, the B word. We won without you. And now you're asking, he's supposed to tell you what he's doing? I don't get it, Chris.
Well, why is Durant, he feigned like they were cool. We saw pictures and videos of them walking in the shoot-arounds together laughing.
He just did what he had to do to get through the work.
That's my only, like, again, it's the difference personalities. But Kevin Durant holds things in to himself. He does it his way. You know, here's the other thing with that, Rob. I'll agree with you on this with Draymond. Draymond, to your point, is wanting KD to tell him, right? But yet, the way you got KD, you think him jetting on y'all was hard? How about what he did to OKC? And you were a part of it.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com.
And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
We've got a special guest. He is the executive vice president of NFL football operations. Played the game as well. I'm sure you remember him. He was a five-time Pro Bowler.
Oh, yeah.
Troy Vincent, a hard hitter, too, back then. Troy, what's up, man? Welcome to the Odd Couple.
How you all doing this evening? I hear you debating Michael Jackson and Prince.
All right, so what's your answer?
Yeah, what's your take on
man,
that?
Man, that glove and that moonwalk, man.
Yes.
Not Michael Jackson, no question.
Right.
Hands down.
Right.
And that's not to diss Prince. It's just that Michael Jackson was all-around entertainer, dancer, singer. He wrote his music. He did everything.
And the longevity.
Yes.
Different. Yeah. I thought it was a different audience. Now, when you can move the guys on the block, man, Mike had everybody going crazy.
Right, right. No question. Yeah. I mean, and Prince, like you said, Rob, great, tremendous. But
right.
Michael Jackson was just in the league by himself, period. And so that's great. So we're off to a good start, Troy.
Yes.
But you did something. Well, the Players Coalition, which we know is the group that's been led by players like Malcolm Jenkins and others, and Inspire Change, which is the NFL, they came together and they donated basically like $3 million to aid people in various cities during this pandemic, the coronavirus. And that's tremendous in and of itself. But one thing you guys did is you made sure the money was geared toward helping communities of color specifically, because they are being hit the hardest. African Americans and Latinos are being hit the hardest by this virus. Can you kind of talk about how this came together and why you guys focused it the way you did?
Yeah, so you know, we watched like everyone else as science came out, as the medical field was talking about how the pandemic, the virus was, you know, basically it was in every city. And as weeks progressed, more science and more studies came out. You saw that there was and it was brought to our attention as we were studying it from a few of our colleagues internally. And Malcolm he did a PSA. And what the science was saying, it just was alarming. One day you wake up, you see it hitting all the different cities. And then one morning we wake up. And Dr. Fauci was talking about the disproportion of African Americans and Latinos that was dying. And then after the second and third day, it was like, whoa, like this is real. And then the players, the commissioner, they got together and they just said, you know, they just start studying, like literally studying which of these cities are these people of color, blacks and Latinos, are dying. And they, you know, got together, both owners and players, and went into Baltimore, identified like seven different states: Atlanta, Georgia, Baltimore, Maryland, Chicago, Illinois, Detroit, Florida, down in Miami-Dade, Louisiana, and D.C., and specifically geared the money, a little over $3 million, towards hospitals and grassroots organizations that were caring in the front line, the caretakers and those first responders that were dealing with black and brown people, which was not that others not important.
Right.
But, you know, we have the draft-a-thon where we are, you know, we're partnering and we're raising money throughout the draft for national organizations. But the Players Coalition and the leadership group from the owner side and the commissioner said, okay, we got to focus in on these cities because these numbers are alarming. You can't ignore them. So just tremendous leadership on their behalf.
That's great.
Yeah,
that's great.
No, definitely awesome to understand what's happening and putting money where it needs to go. You know what I mean? Not that it doesn't go everywhere, but you know, zeroing in on areas hardest hit. Troy, you know, there's a lot of talk. The NFL season is a ways away. We don't know what's going on. Some states are starting to reopen. We don't know how long it'll be before sports is started up again. But when you hear the scenarios and circumstances where people are talking about bringing players to a place, quarantining them for 3 or 4 months where they can't see their family or wives or kids and or anything to play sports, I don't know if that would work if I was a player, if I would be game with that considering what's happened in the country. Can you help me to explain why someone would be willing to do that, be away, not make love to their wife or hug their children for months just to play ball?
Well, Rob, I would I'm in my position, that's not something that would be something I would recommend to membership nor the commissioner. There has to be other options. But to me, when I hear that, that's not reasonable when you start talking about family and displacing.
Yes.
The sport is one thing, but the sport is a byproduct of everything else that we do. That's right. The truth. And that would not be in my current role as I do reasonable planning, contingency planning, responsible planning. I would sit across from the commissioner and membership. That is, as much as we want to play, here we're in a position where we can learn from other sports and because we're not in our season. So we have an opportunity to sit back and learn. But, Rob, to displace family members, and this is all about family.
Right.
The game would be gone, and it's about family, the people who truly love you and you care. That's not, to me, I don't know if that would be, to me, that's not reasonable planning. And I don't know if the players, frankly, the coaches, I'm not sure if that's the place that we want to be in.
Because I hear people go ahead.
Troy Vincent, Executive Vice President, NFL Operations, joining the iCouple. Go ahead, Rob.
Because I just hear people throw this stuff out, and I just say to them, do you realize that these players are people and have families, and God forbid you're away at a time where people are dying, and you know what I mean? And you're not there because you're – when I hear people talk, I don't think that they look at players as people who are part of this and who have family members who are living this
callous.
And children who are
callous.
Living this.
Very callous. Very callous.
Yes.
So, yeah, I just, again, as we plan, as the team and I are together, that is something we're listening, we're watching. But to displace families, husbands from their families, their mothers, their sisters, their daughters, I'm not sure if that's the place we want to be in. That's not being the model that I would say that we want to be.
Troy, are there – because we've seen a lot of scenarios thrown out, and some maybe media members are just throwing them out, but most of us watching this assume that these are leaks, you know, coming from the league, coming from executives, and a lot of times it's executives just on league teams talking about this scenario, that scenario. Are there a lot of scenarios you're seeing out there on the television, on the radio, that really aren't based in fact, that the league's not really considering, but people are talking about them like they're real possibilities?
Those things are just, that's gossip. That's news. That's clickbait. We're getting our direction clearly from the medical community. We're not even moving. We're not thinking. We're planning to have a full season until the medical community tells us differently. Today, the stay-home orders tell us there is no draft in its current state, so there's a virtual draft. The current stay-home orders are telling us that there is no off-season today.
Right.
You have to do those things virtually. So our planning will be predicated upon what the medical community tells us when that time is. We could potentially just return back to work. So I just say, Chris, that's just media talk. I don't know who those executives are from different, but we haven't even gone that far. Our focus is on what the federal, state, and local governments are telling us what we can and can't do.
Troy, let me ask you, the big news of the day was obviously Rob Gronkowski coming out of retirement, getting traded to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to reunite with Tom Brady. Now, we know when Gronk, he's young, he's only, you know, going to be 31 in May. We know when he retired, his body was beat up. You haven't played the game a full career. Is it possible? Because I'm thinking the year off, you know, he's still young. It probably did his body good. And he should be able to, you know, he may be able to come back and be fine physically. After you've played the game for 10 years or so, does a year off do that for you, or is that kind of wishful thinking?
No, absolutely. I think you have to stay active, and the more you age, you want to stay as active as possible. Now, at the end of the day, he's shredded some pounds, which you're seeing. So he'll come back at least lean, but a year away from football. He'll connect. I mean, he'll get his body. Will he be the same? Hey, that was a machine up there in New England.
Right.
I mean, that was a complete machine. They were connecting. To try to transfer all of that down to understand the Brady and his connection, to transfer that down to Tampa, only God knows. But it is tough to take a year off and come back and play at that same level, unless you're MJ.
All right, I'm glad you went there.
No doubt about it. I'm trying to tell Chris, it's a circus going on down in Tampa. That's what it is. I'm waiting to see the bearded lady next to the dinosaur quarterback and the frat boy tight end. That's what I want to see.
See, he's taking you
it'd
much
be great
further,
for the game.
Troy.
Now, it'd be great for the game. Tough division.
Oh, yeah. The division.
They're making the playoffs, Troy. They're making
Troy,
the playoffs.
They're not making the playoffs. Chris and I have a wings bet. We got wings on it. I got them not
Chris,
making the playoffs.
You got New Orleans down. You got Breeze.
New Orleans can make it, too. But remember, it's an extra team, too. Now there's seven in each conference.
If you think Atlanta's going to be down another year.
Crazy.
Wow.
But sugar enough. Thank you. Tell them, Troy.
No. All right, Troy, you gave us between MJ and Prince. You gave us MJ, Michael Jackson. MJ, LeBron.
I grew up, man. All I knew was Michael Jordan. I love LeBron, but I wanted to be everything that Michael Jordan represented. When I was watching the deal the other night, I went downstairs and I shared with my wife. I wanted to talk like this man. I tried to walk. I was already pigeon-toed. I wanted to be more pigeon-toed because I wanted to be just like Mike. But I wanted to be just like – I love LeBron. In this generation, I mean, fabulous. But Mike transcended the game.
Right, right.
He transcended the game.
Troy, I need to get you on the show to fill in with me one day. You know, when Chris ain't around.
What are you talking about? I say MJ over LeBron, too.
No, I know that.
About?
But, I mean, we eye to eye on everything.
That's
right
not
here.
Good, Troy.
And I.
Troy.
That's
good. Not good.
It is
you
good.
You eye to eye with Rob Parker.
Yes, I love it, Troy, man. Anytime. Come back to the show.
Thank you.
All right,
thanks,
man.
God bless you all during these times.